mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, here's the CBS News headline. It's one of the top stories in the country now. All because one man, we've learned, is one of our listeners on his own Facebook site. We're getting him on probably in the middle of the next hour or the nightly news tonight. A gentleman during the MVP press conference, right at the start of it, with more than 10 million viewers, they estimate, still watching, Matthew Mills, 30, of New York, took over and simply said 9/11 was an inside job orchestrated by inside forces in the government, needs to be investigated. And now here's the headlines. MVP Malcolm Smith interrupted by man calling for 9/11 probe. The New York Times calls it conspiracy theorist hijacks press conference. No, we've proven, and six of the 10 commissioners have said that it was a cover up. We know there was a NORAD stand down. We know those towers were blown up. We know there's a cover up. And someone out there, more than anybody other than myself, who's had the courage to be the tip of the spear exposing 9/11 truth, until the point they won't even have him on places like Fox News anymore because he wins these debates bringing up Tower 7, is former Minnesota governor, best-selling author, host of Conspiracy Theory on True TV, now has his own unfiltered, you know, tape-to-air or live sometimes show that I've been on, off-the-grid television and ORA-TV, off-the-grid, ORA.TV/off-the-grid, or just type in Jesse Ventura off the grid, or type in Jesse Ventura YouTube. You can find it all. And this is what I love seeing happen, this revolution of individuals doing their own shows, totally uncensored, unfiltered. And so we're going to talk about that. He's with us for the rest of the hour. Great look and sight. Jesse Ventura off the grid at ORA.TV, just like PrisonPlanet.TV. And he joins us right now. But first, he's down in Mexico. I want to play this clip for him and get his take on this 30-year-old Matthew Mills, who snuck through security, infiltrated, got on one of the employee buses to infiltrate, to tell the truth, true special forces for the truth and America against this inside job. Here is part of the clip.
No, I always imagine myself making great plays, but you never think about being MVP.
Investigate 9/11. 9/11 was perpetrated by people within our own government.
And again, that simple statement, and then they're freaking out in their response all over the news last night and today. This is all over every news channel causing a giant debate. It shows that, number one, their fake security is a complete fraud with the gunships and the groping and the checkpoints. Governor, great to have you back with us.
Thanks, Alex. Great to be here. Geez, I watched the Super Bowl from off the grid. I was able to watch the game yesterday and not. Unfortunately, I went back home and I didn't see the MVP presentation. By the way, just for my note, who did win the MVP?
MVP? That was Malcolm Smith of the Seahawks.
Really? Okay. Well, I knew someone from the Seahawks would win because they obviously dominated the game and overwhelmingly won it. They did a great job for Seattle, but that's amazing that somebody got that in there, and that's been all over the news today. That's wonderful. I couldn't be happier. I tip my hat to that gentleman that had the courage to do that and get people talking and thinking about stuff and getting the lemmings to wake up there.
Well, it shows, Governor, as you know, the power of the individual. As somebody who called national NFL games on television and also there locally for the fans, what was it like for you to watch this? I think this was one of the most boring Super Bowls ever, and then watching with TSA grope people and the gunships and the snipers, this did not look like America. It looked like East Germany and Checkpoint Charlie.
Well, that's why I do my show, is the fact that I'm outside the grid. I'm outside the United States broadcasting in, because the United States is getting like East Berlin. They're taking away our rights and freedoms. People need to understand that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights are there to protect the people against the government. Those are our documents that ensure our freedom. And when the government starts to violate those documents, we can't allow that to happen. It's that simple, because that's what makes our country the great nation that it is. And for this guy to penetrate the Super Bowl and be able to say on national TV 9/11 was an inside job, and now they're all up and outraged and irate. It'll be interesting to see what the end result of this and the backlash of this is. Will people become more aware? But, you know, they're going to try to marginalize this guy and say that he's some sort of nutcase, naturally.
Well, if you go up to Google and put in 9/11 inside job and click news, there are literally thousands of articles all over the world, TV. They are taking what he did, kind of like when I got on Piers Morgan, and just putting it everywhere. Those 15 seconds literally just showed what a fraud the whole thing is. What is your angle on the fact that, I mean, I think it shows that it's total security theater that this guy was able to do that.
Well, it shows how vulnerable everything is, though, too, Alex, because you think at the Super Bowl, you know, that would be a lockdown situation. How protected was the Super Bowl yesterday? They really had helicopters flying around, and was it truly that difficult to get in? Would you have to go through three metal detectors?
Let me break it down. Jakari Jackson, our reporter, along with our camera guy, who had to leave their cameras behind, obviously, that were there for 3 days before and during covering it, and I had to buy them, by the time we got tickets, $1,700 for nosebleeds almost at the very back of that giant stadium. They do not allow cabs to get within a mile of it. They do not allow taxis. They do not allow limos. You have to get on a train and wait 2 hours each time on trains. People collapsed inside the train, sitting there for hours in the heat because they had heaters on. That was on the in the news. They would then bus you, and it would then take another 2 hours after the train gets there to go through security, where they search your bags, grope your body, metal detector you, and then do it again, and then do it again, as you just said, but then no one ever scanned or checked their ticket, ever. Not even getting on the train. It was ultra bizarre. Jakari was like, well, wait a minute. There was all this security, but there was no security, and there were men with machine guns everywhere, police dogs, snipers, gunboats, five helicopters, jets flying over that weren't even... Yeah.
You know, Alex, the question needs to be asked this, and this is what I believe the people need to be asking the government, is why, if we're indeed that vulnerable and we're really that much under attack that the United States is now turning into East Berlin with its security precautions, we need to ask the million-dollar question. Why? What have we done? And I'll repeat that. What have we done to incur the anger of people throughout the world to this extent? Because that's what we need to be looking at. What is causing people to hate the United States to the extent that they are? We used to be looked up to. Everywhere in the world used to look up and try to emulate the United States of America. They all wanted to be us. You know, they all wanted that. But today, there's nobody doing that anymore. And if we have to lock down our country for fear of attack from some unknown entities, well, then we need to start looking in the mirror saying, what are we doing that is causing this type of behavior throughout the world? Because, you know, we certainly didn't have to protect our Super Bowls 20 years ago like this. I mean, naturally, there's always been some type of security at every event. But as you stated, the security was to make sure people had tickets. You know, because it used to be you had to worry about scalpers and people sneaking in.
Well, and you had real police out there who knew what to look for. You know what it is, Governor. It's about training us to be slaves, training us for the police state, training us for a lockdown America during a financial collapse. Why do you think they're setting up what I would call classical incremental martial law? What do you think it's in preparation for, Jesse Ventura?
Well, it troubles me greatly because obviously somebody feels there's going to be a need for martial law.
That's right.
And I can't for the life of me figure out if our society is what we deem it to be, why there would ever be a need for martial law. What in the United States of America? You know, people need to wake up and realize that they have, each of us as individuals, have about as much chance of being attacked by a terrorist as we do winning the Powerball. And yet, we're preparing like some sort of Al-Qaeda invasion of Normandy is going to happen, Virginia Beach, Virginia. And it's insane. And I have to agree with you, Alex. The people in the know must be preparing for something that they sure don't want us to know about, because this lockdown of America over 9/11 and over the Patriot Act is utterly absurd. It's time to get rid of the Patriot Act and take the country back to what it used to be instead of this police state they're turning it into.
My issue is they just keep accelerating it to where more and more it sounds like a good idea to leave the country like you've done. Shifting gears, I believe, as you've said, getting off the grid, becoming self-sufficient, that's how you make sure you can't be domesticated. This system wants you on food stamps. It wants you dependent. It wants you scared, not having your own guns, with police all around with guns. They want us domesticated. So I want to spend a few minutes before we get back into the news and this latest overdose and the heroin out of Afghanistan. I want to ask Governor Jesse Ventura, because I had a lot of fun being on your show last week, uncensored, and it was just great. I was on Skype, you were on Skype, felt like I was there in the room with you. Spend a few minutes talking about some of the shows you're doing. I mean, you're doing them, 4 days a week at least, and some of the stuff that's coming up, because, I mean, this is the type of show that I personally am going to be watching.
Well, it's fun for me, Alex, because, as you know, since I left office, I've had a very difficult time getting my message out there. You stated earlier Fox News won't have me on, MSNBC won't have me on. CNN allows me on a little bit. My last book, because it dealt with the Kennedy killing, none of the major networks would have me on, not NBC, not ABC, not CBS, Fox, none of them. And I've always, since I got out of office in 2003, when I had that debacle that happened at MSNBC, where they wouldn't put me on the air because I opposed the war in Iraq, and they paid me for 3 years and literally handcuffed me and kept me off the air. Since then, I've been fighting to find a way. How can I talk to the American people unfiltered? How can I talk to the American people without it being on these stations that decide whether I can come on or not? And Bora.com has come forward, and it actually happened while I was on a book tour. I did Larry King, and I thought Larry had retired. You know, I thought Larry left CNN. I didn't know that he was on the Internet. I said, Larry, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm on the Internet. You need to be on this. And that's how it all started. Aura TV does Larry King, and they got interested then in me, and they felt I was a voice that needed to be heard. And the important thing is the owner of the company is not from the United States of America, so therefore he has no dog in the fight. When I want to criticize our policy and be an engaged American citizen and be vigilant, a term that I've been using from the start that I like to assume President Obama stole from me for the State of the Union address, because lo and behold, he also used the term vigilant. And this show has offered me that ability and to be able to, and I thought to myself, you know, I've been inside the United States yelling and screaming from the inside out, and nobody seems to want to listen. Maybe it'll work better from the outside going in. So that's what it's done for me doing this show. I can't tell you how happy I am. Uncensored, any topics I want to talk about. And, of course, it's on the Internet, so shows are roughly only 8 to 12 minutes long, because that's the style of the Internet. They're more quick hits. You're not going to have an hour, hour and a half long show that's going to work that well, I don't think. So it works out terrific for me, and it lets me live in sheer freedom down here. And we'll be moving it about, too, the show, Alex. We don't want them to get a pinpoint on us. We don't want them finding us with drones. So we'll be doing the show from different locations off the grid. We'll keep them guessing.
Well, it's just really exciting, the revolution of true independent media. Larry King, when they kicked him off 3 years ago, had 2 million listeners, viewers a night. Piers Morgan, and I know you know him, he has you on, you know, it's down to about 400,000. MSNBC has gone from a million down to about 300,000. I mean, back when you were on MSNBC, they had 5 million viewers, 10 million viewers some nights. Mainstream media isn't just dying because of the Internet, because my show is just exploding and many others are. It's the content. But they're still, I mean, Larry King wasn't controllable enough for them, so they got him off CNN. And it just shows, what do you, Jesse Ventura, you're a smart guy, you're savvy. Where do you see the media wars going? Where do you see the establishment going? Where do you see all the new banker bailouts, all the corruption? What is your gut about where the future of humanity is going?
Well, you know, to me, when you're talking communications, it's the Internet. I mean, you know, it's taking over so strong now. That's why I'm on it. The freedom of being on it. And you can rest assured the government is going to try to get control of it. They've got to, from their perspective. If they're going to control us, they got to control the Internet. I personally hope they never, ever get control of it. I love the freedom of it. It falls right under freedom of speech, our First Amendment and the Bill of Rights. We have the right to speak freely. And the Bill of Rights, freedom of speech, as I've said so often, it's there to protect unpopular speech. Because popular speech doesn't need protecting. It's unpopular speech that needs protecting.
That's right.
Or speech that goes against the status quo. It may be minority speech you're talking about here. Excuse me. Something that the majority doesn't necessarily can control. And that's what's important about the Internet.
Well, that's right.
So, Alex, I think the Internet, and I'm probably being very liberal here, I see the Internet taking over all communications within a decade.
No, I agree. Totally. No, I think you're right. Maybe 5-6 years. I mean, the way it's going. But cybersecurity, Homeland Security, they admit with big media, they want to censor it, track it, tax it, web ID it, and geo-locate it, geo-filter it, so that they can kill competition because these guys can't compete with us, Governor.
Well, you know, and that may be the case. It's like the old saying from Deep Throat, Alex, follow the money. The money will lead you. You know, that's money is what gets government to react. Money, money, money. If there's money to be made, government wants a piece of it. On another note, we'll switch gears here. Again, I want to talk about, you know, and this makes a good transition to the war on drugs that you wanted to talk about. I'm so proud of the states of Washington and Colorado, the two Super Bowl participants, but I'm even more proud of them, not for their Super Bowl football teams. I'm proud of them because they have voted the people in those states to legalize marijuana and strike a blow against this war on drugs that in a free society should never be happening. Drug addiction should be treated medically. Addiction should be treated medically, not criminally. You can be addicted to anything. People, imagine the addiction to coffee. Now, and that's a powerful addiction. I remember when I was in the Navy. If you didn't make the coffee, the chiefs were ready to hang you from the yardarm. You know? And I never drink coffee. I've never been a coffee addict. But when you watch people not get their morning cup of coffee, and you watch how it affects them in their daily life, clearly it's a powerful addiction. Well, again, addiction, you can be addicted to Hostess Twinkies, for that matter.
Exactly. You're not going to arrest people for sugar, though now Bloomberg, the outgoing mayor, wants that. Let me shift gears before we get into the drugs,
sure,
because I want to tie it in. We're about to go to break. I'm going to come back and talk about the dead actor who I was a fan of. He was a great actor, and this super heroine that killed him, and tie it in, you know, to how the drugs are being shipped in from Afghanistan, and get your take on that. But since you mentioned censorship of journalism and the Internet, as you know, we'll put the LA Times article on screen, Los Angeles Times, who's a journalist, Senator Dianne Feinstein, wants to draw a line and literally shut down bloggers, talk radio, you name it, and not let us have journalistic protections. She's absolutely a monster. And you've got John D. Rockefeller, the senator from West Virginia, saying, quote, we'd be better off if the Internet was never invented. So I agree with you. And I remember calling you the night and calling Tyrell the night. I've never done this on the TV show, even though I was involved in, like, at that time, like 10 episodes of the 16 or so that had been on. And I'll never forget calling you as a consultant and saying, Governor, I just want to say congratulations for putting the most powerful television on ever. Your FEMA special exposes the whole takeover plan, the whole plan with the FEMA centers. I cannot believe this got on air with almost 2 million viewers, record views for a new show on True TV. Then Congress gets involved. All of it happens the way you scared that congressman, and they killed it airing again when they normally air it 50 more times, so it's seen by upwards of 50 million people. Most re-airs have 1 million viewers. Incredible to see that so threatened the establishment that within hours they flipped out. Can you speak to that?
Well, it was, I don't know if you want to call it an honor to be taken down on the congressional floor, but that's what actually happened. Congressman Cohn, the guy who co-sponsored the bill to build these FEMA camps, actually chastised me and my show on the floors of Congress. And I guess I should take that for a compliment to get that far. But you're right. That show never aired again. They then removed it and wouldn't even acknowledge that we did it.
They took it off TiVo. They took it off the cable servers.
Oh, yeah. They did all that. So people out there that believe that we're not already being operated under a certain censorship are naive and sadly mistaken, and they better wake up to the fact that, you know, even a show like mine, when it comes out and tells the truth on a particular subject, if it offends too many of the status quo or the government, they'll step in and do what they did to that show and basically remove it so that more people can't ever see it. But it's still out there, because the great thing about the internet today is once it's shown once, it's going to be somewhere.
Well, we're going to break, but I want to come back and get into the drug war, other key issues that you're focused on. But I wanted to raise that because people better appreciate PrisonPlanet.tv, the InfoWars Nightly News, our subscription service. They better appreciate Governor Ventura and ORA-TV, /Off the Grid, Aura TV. They better appreciate that Ventura, 4 days a week, is producing a show that 6 days a week we're doing it. It's hard work. We're all in this together. We love freedom is why we do it. But it's not pearls before swine. Understand, folks, we're busting our butt, and the enemy, the establishment, does not like this. We've gone through a lot of trouble, a lot of threats, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff Ventura doesn't want people to even know about, and that's fine. I won't talk about it. I've been through it, too. So we're brothers in arms in those shared experiences of trying to use our First Amendment and being so effective. Look at all the JFK people that have been killed or targeted. I want to talk about that with Ventura as well when we come back. But this is serious. This is war. So support us.
We're on the march.
Become members
on the run
at Aura.tv
Alex
now.
Jones and
PrisonPlanet.tv.
Network.
Vote with your dollars right now. Going back to former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura, who I just admire so much because he's a trailblazer. Like Ron Paul, he never has compromised. He's the real deal. And that's why the media tries to attack him and say, oh, he's not the real deal. Because, just like they do with Rand Paul and people, because he is the real deal. And I want to read this quote before we get into the drug war. And the fact that Jesse Ventura wouldn't be censored on MSNBC and, you know, turned down his top rated. He had the top rated show on there. Then they got rid of the other guy that had a top rated show, Donahue. And they're getting rid of everybody. And remember, these are real people that these networks could win with, but they cannot allow the idea of legalizing freedom. But I want to read a famous quote about the man in the arena, and I want all of you to pledge to be men and women in the arena. This is by a former president at the time. He'd just been out of office in 1910, Teddy Roosevelt. It's the man in the arena. Citizenship in a republic. It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust, sweat, and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, and who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. And Governor, I want your take on that quote and your philosophy on life. Then we're going to get into the fake drug war.
Well, I agree totally with that. It's what you do in your life and how you conduct it, and you don't have to be a big national leader if you just live day to day and stay a vigilant citizen, focus on what's happening locally in your local school board, what happens in your local town, and remain active, because those are the heroes that make the United States the great country it is, are the everyday citizens that take part in the creation of this great country and keeping it running like it is. And Alex, we're just lucky that we were the people that seem to have a voice and can be heard, but we really need the millions and millions out there to stand up and finally be counted, because if they don't do that, we're going to lose our great country, and it's not going to be the country that you and I were born in. It's certainly not the country that I was born in. And the direction it's heading for me today, it's not the country that I want to die in. And I would like to get it back to being the country I would like to die in someday.
Well, that's right. And you've said that if people get behind a national movement to have you run for president. If they get it lined up and show enough interest, then you'll do it. But you can't do everything. A guy 2 weeks ago ran into a burning house to get his Xbox. And that same week, a guy wouldn't run in his house to get his kids. And I think about people rioting and burning things and jumping over cars and attacking police in Seattle when the Seahawks won. You know, I wish people would show not that energy for rioting, but that same energy politically for freedom. What's your take on that, Governor?
I agree. You know, people need to get more motivated. Let's remember something. Football is nothing more than entertainment. And that's the real problem with our country today. We have become an entertainment society now, where entertainment is the most important thing in our lives. And if they look at history, they'll find out that's exactly what happened to the Roman Empire, where they became enhanced with entertainment. Entertainment became the main focus. And, you know, football's great, sports is terrific, and being entertained is a wonderful thing. But if you break your day up, we need to get back concentrating on the real things in life. You know, it used to be you concentrated on working an 8 or 10 hour day. Today, that's the sideline. What people focus on today is, how do I entertain myself that other 4 to 6 hours when I'm not working and I'm not sleeping? And we need to take more pride in our work and more pride in being involved in our communities, helping people out, you know. I often laugh because you hear stories about, you know, I'm an admitted atheist now, and you hear stories about, well, atheists, they don't have values. Yes, we do. And it's the value of every day treating your fellow man, the old golden rule. Treat people the way you would want to be treated. And go out there and get involved. Help people. There's nothing more gratifying in the world than helping someone, and you don't need money in which to do it.
Well, and, you know, I respect the fact that we agree on about 95% of stuff, but I totally get the fact that the churches are so evil and so hypocritical and are a bunch of Pharisees. I don't blame people running the opposite direction from these institutions. And I know you're a moral person who genuinely cares about humanity from a human perspective, and I admire that. And that's what it's all about. The people that shake their finger at each other and just want to infight over religion, you know, are the hypocrites. And if they let a better example out there, you know, people wouldn't see them for the disgusting hypocrites they are. Now, shifting gears again, you mentioned the drug war. What a battle with all 14 states trying to decriminalize or legalize marijuana, Obama doing all the raids, whatever happened to states' rights. Obama claimed he was going to decriminalize marijuana, another lie. Give us your take on what I cut you off about before the break. And then I want to tie it into this actor who had heroin laced with painkiller. I can't pronounce this. How do you say it? Fentanyl takes toll on Pennsylvania, killing people. And they're also getting almost pure heroin out of Afghanistan. Tenfold increase on heroin going into Western Europe and the U.S. since the liberation of Afghanistan 12 years ago. Philip Seymour Hoffman was found dead in New York City with a needle in his arm. And I'm just, Mike Adams has a great article at naturalnews.com. It's also on Infowars.com. Overdose death of Hoffman underscores urgent need to decriminalize and regulate recreational drugs. Northern Europe, 5 countries there have decriminalized heroin, so you can get medical grade in controlled dosages, and almost no overdoses are happening now, and drug use has gone down by 50% because you take the black market out of it, everything you've said. Governor, give us your take on all this.
Absolutely. You know, when it's like my mother said to me, my mom passed away back in 1995, but she lived through the prohibition of alcohol when they went through that nonsense way back in the 20s and early 30s where they prohibited alcohol. And my mom's observation was, she told me, she said, the war on drugs is identical to the prohibition of alcohol. All you're doing is making criminals rich and powerful. And that's precisely it. Clearly, some people within our government are profiting greatly from keeping drugs illegal. By smuggling them in, the prices are then 10 times higher than they'd normally be. I mean, let's look at tobacco and alcohol. Those two are drugs. There's no doubt about it, but for some reason they separate them from all the other ones because, number one, they're legal. Well, tobacco and alcohol causes much damage or more damage than all the, quote, illegal drugs do combined. More people die from alcohol and tobacco every year than what die from any of these other drugs. In fact, illegal drugs medical prescription drugs. More people die from those. Overdoses of drugs you get from your doctor than die from these alleged illegal recreational drugs. And the point of the matter is, if you live in a free society, drug addiction is a medical problem. Why we have chose to make it a criminal problem, I have no idea. Why we somehow think you should take an addict and throw them in prison is beyond me. You can achieve so much more by legalizing it, taxing it, using those revenues. Then you get a hold on who the addicts are, and you can attempt to cure them. You can attempt to make them good, citizens who are productive again. And they won't have to be out facing buying addictive substances that are charged 10 times more than what they should cost. And that leads to other crime. If an addict has to fulfill his addiction and the price is 10 times, you don't see people robbing stores at gunpoint to get money for tobacco and alcohol. Well, the same thing would hold true if the other drugs are put at a decent price. You put them in hospitals and in pharmacies and places. You don't sell them in 7-Eleven stores, but you put them in places where people can come, admit their addiction, be able to buy what they need. Then you at least get a grasp on, okay, now can we wean this person off of the drug? And I think that in 9 times out of 10, the addict would go for that. The addict would go to stop being controlled by this drug. But the only way that's going to happen is through legalization. It's not going to happen through prohibition. And people need to wake up to that fact.
That could be a university dissertation. I know you taught at Harvard. That was perfectly said with all the facts. I mean, look at prohibition ending, in the early 30s. And the police had been corrupted. Alcoholism had tripled. Billions had been made by the mafia and corrupt groups and Joe Kennedy. And so they literally went and lobbied the well-meaning Christian PTAs and people to go all over the country and get drug laws, state and federal, passed, where they'd put you in jail for 20 years for a marijuana cigarette so that they had something new to deal. And then women need it because it's so expensive, so they become prostitutes, and the local government thugs can run that. I mean, this is all a racket, and everybody knows it, and I don't see how long the drug war can go, as the public, all the polls show, want decriminalization across the board, Jesse.
Well, then what you've got to do, Alex, is simple. You have to start electing people that agree with that position. I remember when I ran for governor of Minnesota, during the election, I made a simple statement. I said, it's time to look at legalizing drugs and prostitution. Oh, my God. The head of the Independence Party of Minnesota went ballistic. She thought I had blown the whole election. She goes, oh, we were contending. Now he opened his mouth on drugs and prostitution. We're going to lose the election. It's all lost. And I'll never forget my partner, Dean Barkley, who was instrumental in getting me to run for governor. Dean walked into the room and sat down and smiled very calmly and says, look, how do we take this lemon and turn it into lemonade? And he came up with a great idea, and it worked. He said, we're going to come out there with the position, Jesse Ventura is the only candidate with the courage to talk about these real issues, because drug addiction is real, prostitution is real, and he's not afraid to discuss real life situations and what the regular public...
Yeah, but, I mean, exactly. There's women everywhere that you take them out to dinner and you pay their bills. They don't call that prostitution. And what makes it horrible, and I'm not endorsing it, is the fact that there are pimps. It is illegal. These women are being suppressed by it being a black market, and all the studies show that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Alex, when you look at prostitution and you strip it all away, okay, in our free society, any sexual act between two consenting adults is legal. So the only illegality about prostitution, the government's not getting the cut. They're not paying taxes. The government wants to be the pimp. They need their cut. And so, you know, that's all part of it, too. Follow the money. How the sex act itself is not illegal, so clearly it's the money. And then you run into a different scenario. Let's take a pornographic actor, someone who does pornography on TV for money. Is having sex for money, how is it they're not arrested? Is that not considered prostitution? They're having sex, and they're getting paid to do it. It's just that they're doing it on film, so I guess it's considered an artistic form.
Well said. So well, I mean, bottom line is...
pornography is not illegal, and prostitution is. How can that be?
Well, I just know all the studies from around the world. It's incontrovertible. You make something illegal that's a vice that doesn't hurt non-consenting people. You then make it dark, make it corrupt, make it black market, put tons of money into it, and now the mafia and the corrupt government and the police get to run it. And that's why they want it illegal, so that they can run it on the dark side, period.
Well, and it's also so that the prices will go up.
Because that's right.
Anything that's legal, the price drops. You watch in Colorado and Washington how eventually the price of marijuana is going to drop there where it's legal, because there will be competition. There will be growers of marijuana who will decide, you know what, I'll undercut the price. And I'll sell more then, because my marijuana will be cheaper. And that's called good, clean competition in capitalism. That's what drives prices down, is competition. And if there, and by legalizing marijuana, and then let's look at it from a different standpoint. For those that think Jesse might be crazy or Alex is crazy, marijuana itself is the best that you can get for creating biodiesel fuel. And then we can stop using corn and use marijuana and let corn be what it's supposed to be.
Well, that's right. Hemp grows everywhere as well, and most strains don't even have THC. Final segment with Jesse Ventura, and we've got the exclusive. I'll hold him into the next hour after Ventura has to go. But, Jesse, you're going to get a chance to talk to Matthew Mills on the other side. He's a listener, and we were able to get him on, the guy that took over the NFL post-game Super Bowl Sunday, showed us that they're basically, is no such thing as security. He's coming up with Jesse Ventura.
No, I always imagine myself making great plays, but you never think about being MVP.
Investigate 9/11. 9/11 was perpetrated by people within our own government.
And just those 15 seconds have now become a sensation all over the news as they attack him, but as it causes the debate, and I'm going to hold him a little bit in the next hour after Governor Jesse Ventura leaves us. But Jesse, he's a listener. He's been able to get in, and we're going to talk to Matthew Mills. What do you want to say to him, Governor?
Well, Matthew, I want to say, you know, unbelievable the courage you show, and good for you to speak your mind. I would ask this question of what are they going to do to you, or what are they doing to you for what you just did?
Am I on the air right now?
Yes, you are. Go ahead, sir.
I don't think they're going to do much to me. I only got like a summons, a ticket. I don't even think it's for that much money. They grilled me for a while. They were really, really intense. It was pretty much everything but the spotlight in my face. They were real. The one guy actually said he wanted to punch me in my jaw. So they were kind of mad, but I don't think I'm going to get in any big trouble.
Well, that's amazing. What's been the repercussion for you? Are there media that want to talk to you, or are they marginalizing you and not talking to you?
Well, I got a bunch of calls yesterday, but I was in the holding cell in the stadium until pretty late at night, until pretty much the stadium closed. And I had a bunch of texts and calls, and then one guy I finally answered. It was from NJ.com, and he just asked me some questions, and I was candid with him.
And, that's right. You got interviewed by the New Jersey local paper there in the main city. Listen, can you hold, and after the governor leaves us, I'm going to come back and debrief you on air?
Sure.
Thank you for calling in. Our listener taking action. He's done work with We Are Change in the past as well, and he is one hell of an info warrior. I tell you, it's great to be part of this family of freedom fighters, Jesse.
Oh, I'll tell you, this kid had courage and guts to do what he did, and that's remarkable, because just those simple words he said, and now the media jumping all over it is bringing it back into the forefront, back to the attention of the people throughout the world, which is a good thing, because we've never gotten resolution on 9/11, just as we've never gotten it on the murder of John. John Kennedy. And that's enough of this crap. We deserve to know the truth.
Oh, by the way, I went to Dallas. The Dallas police didn't follow the orders of the mayor to have anybody handing out flyers anywhere downtown to be arrested. So they hired, Homeland Security hired sheriff's deputies to basically punch us and attack us on video. I don't know if you heard about that, but it was online and made national news. This was after the memorial and everybody was gone. The police opened up the barricade, said you can go in now to downtown, and the feds had sheriff's deputies attack us.
Well, and all of that because we don't believe the official story.
Well, it's just like they censored your TV show. It's just like they're afraid of the information, which shows we have power.
I'll tell you, it's amazing that they still try to perpetrate this myth on killing of Kennedy. I mean, anybody today who believes Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone is completely naive. There's so much fact out there. There's so much you can learn about it to know that it's not true. And I always tell people it's the most important thing because that's what's led to where we're at today. Had Jack Kennedy lived, I believe we would be living in a different world than what we live in today. They killed everybody that stood for peace because obviously there are people in the world that do not want peace. They want war. And it's that simple, Alex.
Great way to end it. The TV show's on aura.tv/off the grid. You can also just Google Jesse Ventura YouTube. He's got Facebook, all of it. We have it all linked up on Infowars.com. Governor, look forward to seeing you when you're back in the States, and I'll take you up on the invitation to come down and see you in Mexico. Say hi to your wife and family for me.
Thank you, Alex. Just when you come down, though, don't bring no drones with you.
We'll see you off the grid, Governor.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care. We'll be right back with the man that took over the Super Bowl.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.